वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Text 27 from chapter 19 of Canto 5. And the chapter is almost finished. Satyam dushat yartitam artitom runam.
Satyam dushat yartitam artitom
runam. Naivartado yat punar artita yata. Svayam vidate bhajatam anichchatam. Ichcha pidhanam nijapada palavam. Satyam dishat yartitam artitom runam. Naivartado yat punar artita yataha. Vayam vidate bhajatam ini anichchatam. Ichchapidhanam nijapada palavam. Satyam. Certainly. Dishati. He offers. Artitam. The object prayed for. Artitaha. Being prayed for. Nrinam. By the human beings. Na. Not. Eva. Indeed. Artada, the bestower of benedictions. Yat, which, punaha, again, artita, a demand for a benediction. Yataha, from which, svayam, personally, vidate, he gives. Bhajatam, unto those engaged in his service. Anichchatam, although not desiring it. Ichchapidhanam, which covers all desirable things. Nijapada palavam, his own lotus feet. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives. But he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it, and that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. And very nice purport by Srila Prabhupada. The devotees mentioned in the previous verse approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with material motives. But this verse explains how such devotees are saved from those desires. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10 advises, Akama sarvakamo va moksha kama udaradi tivena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Translation, whether one is freed from all material desires, is full of material desires, or desires to become one with the Supreme, he should engage in devotional service. In this way, not only will one's will the devotee's desires be fulfilled, but the day will come when he will have no other desire than to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. One who engages in the service of the Lord with some motive is called Sakama Bhakta. And one who serves the Lord without any motives is called an Akama Bhakta. Krishna is so merciful that he turns a Sakama Bhakta into an Akama Bhakta. A pure devotee, an Akama Bhakta, who has no material motives, is satisfied simply to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 6:22. Yam labdhva chaparam labham manyate natkaditam tataha. If one engages in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he does not want anything more. This is the highest stage of devotional service. The Lord is so kind that even a Sakama Bhakta, a motivated devotee, that he satisfies his desires in such a way that one day he becomes an Akama Bhakta. Dhruva Maharaj, for example, became a Bhakta with the motive of getting a better kingdom than his father, and finally he became an Akama Bhakta and said to the Lord, Svamin Kitartosmi Varam Nayache. My dear Lord, I am very satisfied simply to serve your lotus feet. I do not want any material benefits. Sometimes it is found that a small child eats dirty things, but his parents take away the dirty things and offer him a sandesh or some other sweetmeat. Devotees who aspire for material benedictions are compared to such children. The Lord is so kind that he takes away their material desires and gives them the highest benediction. Therefore, even for material motives, one should not worship anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must fully engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that all his desires will be fulfilled, and at the end he can go back to Godhead, back to home. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 22, 37 through 39 and 41. And the reason 40 is missing is it's quoting the verse that we're reading, Canto 5. Chapter 19, text 27. So the last paragraph is Prabhupada doing word for word of those verses, starting with text 39, Madhya Lila, chapter 22. Anyakami - a devotee may desire something other than service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Yadi kadi Krishnara bhajana. But if he engages in Lord Krishna's service, na magi teha Krishna tari dena svacharana. Krishna gives him shelter at his lotus feet, even though he does not aspire for it. Krishna kahe, the Lord says, ama bhaje, he is engaged in my service. Maghe Vishaya Shukha. But he wants the benefits of all material sense gratification. Amrita Chadi Vishamaghe. Such a devotee is like a person who asks for poison instead of nectar. E Bada Murka. That is his foolishness. Ami Vigya, but I am experienced. A Murke Vishaya Kena Diba. Why should I give such a foolish person the dirty things of material enjoyment? Sva Charanamrita it would be better for me to give him shelter of my lotus feet. Vishaya bulaiva. I shall cause him to forget all material desires. Kama lagi Krishna bhaje. If one engages in the service of the Lord for sense gratification, paya Krishna rase. The result is that he immediately gets a taste for serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Kama chadidasa haite haya abhilase. He then gives up all material desires and wants to become an eternal servant of the Lord. I'll read it directly, but first I'll just summarize. The reference here is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila chapter 22. And Madhya Lila chapter 22 is part of Lord Chaitanya's discussions with Sanatan Goswami. And in that, this particular section, he's describing the merciful nature of devotional service and the merciful nature of the Lord who bestows devotional service, and that merciful nature transforms one who has material desires to one who has no material desires. So just in case you happen to have a material desire or two, the good news is by worshiping Krishna, by his kindness, he takes away the material desires. Now, sometimes those who are having their material desires taken away freak out. Wait a minute. Like we go to Krishna and very sincerely pray, "My dear Lord, please remove all these impure things from my heart." Unfortunately, we have our favorite impure things. So the things that go very easily, that's not a problem. But when Krishna starts taking away the things that we're particularly fond of, although they're dirty things. Wait a minute. Not that. Take the other things. But that's my favorite. But Krishna takes away. That's the meaning of his name, Hari. Prabhupada described it this way. With thousands of hands, Krishna takes away. You can't hold on. But he, with those same thousands of hands, he gives. Takes away the inauspicious and gives the auspicious. Therefore, he's the best Lord to worship. And the demigods, they're the ones that are offering this special appreciation of Bharat Varsha, the verses that we've previously been reading, and they know very well because they have material desires. Krishna doesn't always fulfill material desires. Or if he does fulfill material desires, it's done in such a way that one will no longer hold material desires. And the way that that's done is he gives his lotus feet shelter at his lotus feet. And when one gets shelter at the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, it frees one from material desires. So it's a very nice program. And if one steps back and thinks in a calculating way, this is pretty good. I get the fulfillment of my desires. That's good. And I also get release from the further contamination of my material desires. That's good. But But the first part is maybe what one is more interested in than the second part. The fulfillment of material desires. What to do? Because we're so conditioned by that circumstance of hankering for the fulfillment of material desires. Most unfortunate circumstance of life. Because it's the bondage of the living entity acting as Purusha, although the living entity is Prakriti, meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. We could simply adopt that mentality, I'm meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. So let me act for the pleasure of Krishna. And then that's our real happiness. I can't remember where it was. I was reading this, but the irony is, it's directly a verse from the Bhagavatam where the speaker is saying the nature of fruitive activity is that in the pursuit of fruitive activity, one wants happiness, but one gets misery. However, if one doesn't strive for material happiness, one gets happiness. You strive for fruitive activities, you get misery. Don't strive for fruitive activities, you get happiness. You have to strive for something because we're living beings, we're animate, we're active. So replace the striving for fruitive activities with striving for Krishna's happiness. Strive for Krishna's happiness, and that brings happiness. But to do that, let go of the material, the expectation of my happiness in the course of exchanging my service for my happiness. Even let go of the expectation of the happiness of the bliss of whatever Krishna's reciprocation is. That's Krishna's happiness, and that's happiness. So, I'm going to go to Chaitanya Charitamrita and read these verses, starting with text 30. Quoted in the purport, it starts with text 37, and here in the discussion with Sanatana Goswami, it starts with Akam Sarvakamova, which is quoted in the purport. Text 31, Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Haya Andhakara. Krishna is compared to sunshine and Maya is compared to darkness. Wherever there is sunshine, there cannot be darkness. As soon as one takes to Krishna consciousness, the darkness of illusion or the influence of the external energy will immediately vanish. That's text 31. Text 32. The external energy of Krishna, known as Maya, is always ashamed to stand in front of Krishna, just as darkness is ashamed to remain before the sunshine. However, that Maya bewilders unfortunate people who have no intelligence. Thus, they simply boast of this material world is theirs and that they are its enjoyers. And that's a verse from Canto 2, Chapter 5. Text 33. One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. And from Ramayan, it is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my Lord, from this day I am yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. When Prabhupada was a householder, he was assisting one sannyasi who was compiling verses to illustrate the six limbs of surrender, or Sharanagati. It was a very nice work where Sharanagati is a set of songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and this sannyasi disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta wanted to write something elucidating or glorifying the process of surrender and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. And he had a very nice relationship with Prabhupada. So Prabhupada did all the work and he took all the credit. But Prabhupada was happy to do all the work and let the sannyasi take all the credit. And this is one of the verses that's quoted in the Atmanivedana section, where full dedication and emphasis is even once, sincerely. It's not like once sincerely, and okay, I did my job, and see you later, Krishna. But sincerely, from this day forward, just even that once sincere submission, Lord Ramachandra says, I accept him as mine, and I will protect him from that day forward. Give him all courage to continue. Steady his intelligence to keep him fixed on the path. So sincere submission is very, very important. Little side note is, there are our Gaudiya Vaishnav view is very much like the Damodar Leela that came out in the discussion yesterday evening at Guru Bhakti's home, Sarvabhoma's home. The devotee that was sitting to my left mentioned during the question and answer session that it is said that one requires the mercy of the Supreme Lord in order to reach him, and one also requires some effort from our side in order to reach him. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on the Damodar Leela says exactly that. When Mother Jasoda was making some endeavor to bind Krishna, she couldn't bind Krishna. But when Krishna changed, there's details of, you know, he was using his specific potencies, his Ichha Shakti, because in this verse the word Ichha is there several times. Ichha means desire. And when Krishna has a desire, no one can check it. So his desire potency was, I want to go back and get some more milk and yogurt and butter products. So he didn't want to be bound by Mother Jasoda. And forget the other term, something Shakti, is something that connected with his potencies, his unparalleled potencies. So Krishna was exhibiting those potencies. But Mother Jasoda kept endeavoring. Mother Jasoda kept endeavoring. It's described, Jiva Goswami describes the other ladies of Vrindavan. They saw Mother Jasoda endeavoring, gathering ropes and tying ropes, and said, Mother Jasoda, don't you understand? It's just not going to happen. Just this morning, you, with the little string around Krishna's waist and put a bell, and it was easy. Now you have so many ropes, and it's not meant to happen. So just let go, give it up. Oh no, I must. It's my duty. I'm his mother. If I just let this naughty behavior go, who knows what will come? I have to. I must. So she continued to endeavor. Perspiring from her forehead and flowers falling from her hair and continuing. So Krishna withdrew those two potencies and exhibited his mercy potency. And because of exhibiting his mercy potency, then she was able to bind him. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. So these two things are required, are making some effort and the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the 2 inches too short signifies these two things, effort and mercy. So this isn't contradictory. It sounds submitting to Krishna, that's our effort, or submitting to Ramachandra, that's our effort. But a sustained effort is required. But his mercy will then be fully available. Just reach out. Just make the effort. Just call his name sincerely. And Krishna's mercy is there. That's his sense of commitment to us in our relationship with him. We've neglected him. We've ignored him. We've, you know, been bad and disrespectful in a long time, consistently. Just turn to him, but turn to him sincerely and say, I submit to you. Krishna's mercy is there. Continued effort is required. So in Sri Vaishnavism, some of you may know this, there are two, following the departure of Ramanujacharya, over a period of just 2-3 generations, there was a division of view of what Ramanuja taught on the topic specifically of surrender. So the two views were, you just surrender once, that's it. And another view is, it's an ongoing surrender. And the comparison to illustrate these two views was, or is, the kitten in the mouth of the mother cat. So maybe you've seen, the mother cat doesn't have hands, but she has a mouth, so she takes the back of the neck, the skin in the back of the neck, the fur, and chomps on the back of the neck of the kitten, and then just carries the kitten from point A to point B and drops the kitten. So when that's going on, the kitten doesn't have to do anything. Just dangling his paws and being carried by the mother cat. And then the other comparison is the baby monkey and the mother monkey. And the baby monkey holds on for dear life because the mother monkey's jumping here and jumping there. And because the baby monkey is holding on and the mother monkey is jumping, the baby monkey moves from point A to point B. So in Ramanuja's mind, there are these two views, and it caused a schism. I mean, not they didn't dislike each other, but a philosophical, theological issue of, you know, surrender. The term is prapati. I've had these discussions with Sri Vaishnava followers before. Is it ongoing surrender, or you just once surrender and you go to Vaikuntha? That's it. It's something like a Christian view that says, just say these words, I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, and there you go. You're on your way to heaven. Just say those words. Or is there an ongoing submission, and follow? Submission means you follow what he says, and you carry out the wishes. So, our Gaudiya Vaishnava view is that both are required. Endeavor is required, and mercy is required. But mercy is available to everybody, but the reaching out to accept that mercy and acting as one should act when one has received mercy in harmony with the will of the mercy-giving Lord. That's required. So reading on, text 35. This is Krishna Das Kaviraj in Bengali explaining what these verses are saying. Quote, due to bad association, living entity desires material happiness, liberation, or merging into the impersonal aspect of the Lord. Or he engages in mystic yoga for material power. If such a person actually becomes intelligent, he takes to Krishna consciousness by engaging himself in intense devotional service to the Lord. Then this akama sarvakamova verse is cited. Then text 37, which is quoted in this verse. Anya kami. Anya means other. And kami is one who has kama, one who has material desire. Anya kami. One who desires many other things. If those who desire material enjoyment or merging into the existence of the Absolute Truth engage in the Lord's transcendental loving service, they will immediately gain shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, although they do not ask for it. Krishna is therefore very merciful. And this is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's elucidation on the verse that we chanted this morning. So here's his paraphrase of what the verse is saying. Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish indeed. He is just like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material happiness. That's his paraphrase. Text 40 is this Bhagavatam verse. Then 41. When someone engages in Lord Krishna's devotional service for the satisfaction of material senses, and instead acquires a taste to serve Krishna, he gives up material desires and willingly offers himself as an eternal servant of Krishna. And then he quotes this verse spoken by Prahlad. Swamin katarto smi varam niyache. That's moving from the sakkama. This is describing the demigods who have material desires, and we who have material desires, conditioned souls with material desires. If there's some aspiration to go beyond the material desires, maybe even there isn't an aspiration to go beyond material desires. Just having faith, as Dhruva Maharaj did, having faith. If I worship Lord Vishnu, I'll get the fulfillment of my material desire. That's sakama, strong. Not even a dovetail, it's a business deal. I do this, you do that. Okay, let's go. Sakama, but the object is Vishnu, personality of Godhead. And he's very kind. Instead, he gave his lotus feet. And when receiving the lotus feet, the Sakama was gone. It was Akama. To the point where Dhruva said, I'm embarrassed. I have this desire to get something totally insignificant, like a piece of broken glass. When you're offering a jewel, oh, I want the broken glass. How foolish. But now I don't have any such desire. Therefore, I'm so satisfied that I do not wish to ask any benediction from you. Now, it's quoted from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, and I've seen it from one of the Puranas, that is to say, the Dhruva Maharaj story is not only narrated in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's narrated elsewhere. And that elsewhere reference, Swami Katartosmi Param Vyache, again and again Prabhupada would quote that little passage. How to go from Sakama to Akama Bhakti. Principal example of that is Dhruva and us. There's hope for us. Now, we may be in a different position in that we're not just, I want a kingdom, but we may have a desire that I want to become free from material desire. I want to come to that position. That wasn't Dhruva's hankering. I want to come to the position where I have no material desire. So what to speak if we have the hankering? I'd like to come to the position. It's my aspiration. That's my desire, to come to a position where I have no selfish desire, pure devotional service. The followers of Rupa Goswami are taught like that. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma jnavatam. That's the fundamental teaching of Rupa Goswami, which means the followers of Lord Chaitanya. So this is describing from the Lord's perspective. Those that come, in the Sanskrit, the word artha, artitam, artito, Naivartado, artha, as in dharma, artha, kama, moksha, artha. Artha means that your goal, that which you aspire for, or technically it means that which is of value, artha. So commonly people value sense gratification. We were speaking about yesterday evening. Sense gratification, you know, money, wealth. Money, 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 money. Dinero. Money is the honey. Get that money, because with money, you can get sense objects. And then you get the sense objects, and you enjoy, so get the money. Devotee family, with the wife was describing, my husband he's obsessed with getting money. And he does anything with the money, he just looks at it. He likes to count how much he has and then make plans to get some more. Doesn't even use it for sense gratification, just looks at it. It's a subtle sense gratification. Then mind, oh, I have so much, I want to get some more. So whether it's gross or subtle, it's a misuse of the living entity's free will and capacity to be of service to Krishna. So that desire, artha, the coveted thing, that thing that's seen to be of value, Icha is this other word that's repeated several times. Anichchatam. Icha Dhanam. Having these other desires, Krishna, it's his desire. I'm not going to fulfill those desires. It's my desire to give my lotus feet. So I'll work with their desire in such a way they have no material desire. Because I give them my lotus feet, and that will free them from those material desires and to satisfy everything that they want. That's the real position of satisfaction. When one is feeling full, then there's not some want for something I don't have. But no matter how much something that you have is material, it's not fulfilling. It's always I have to have more. More whatever it is. More sense gratification, more money. More objects, more toys, more and more. Dushparena Lenacha. Language of Bhagavad Gita. It burns like fire. How much fuel can you put into fire? It burns more. And you get more, and you want more. It's never satisfying. Never. Never, never. We want satisfaction. Never, never. So, the intelligent person, that's what these verses are saying. When one finally becomes intelligent, like the discussion yesterday, Bodhi Yoga, when the intelligence comes, I'm not going to chase after this not satisfying program. But that's not going to happen unless there's the aversion to Krishna problem is checked. One will remain not satisfied and frustrated. Passion transforms into frustration. Because passion isn't fulfilled. You get the object, you're not fulfilled. You don't get the object, you're not fulfilled. Frustration. Boom, boom. Kamesha, Krodesha. Rajoguna, Samurdhava. So that contact with the mode of passion has to change. Let Krishna's desires be fulfilled. That's intelligence. And follow that intelligence and you go back to Godhead. And you get the intelligence saying, I still got my things. I won't let go. Krishna will just take them from you. But that's painful. Better to voluntarily submit. Much better. Much better program. Gradually is okay, but submit to Krishna, and he'll make the heart pure. We make some effort, Krishna makes the heart pure. That's devotional service. So any comments or discussion? What's our scriptural quote for the morning? Go ahead.
Sudama Gandhi, in the example of Sudama Gandhi, his wife, his daughter, is Krishna. And Mita Gandhi, he's on the other hand, he's a king over there. And Sudama Gandhi over there, and Krishna was still preaching his peace and his love in there.
He saw the witch? When coming back, he saw? Okay.
I will
He's a Kama Bhakta. Okay. Any other? Yes?
If someone asks me, Krishna says that even if you have material desires, you come to me, and but the fact remains that Krishna is the one who has created these departments and the heads of those departments. If his logic is, why should I disturb Krishna?
Because Krishna says, that's why you should. Sarvadharmam prajjamami kam sharanam braj. Krishna says, okay. It's not disturbing, it's love. Should a child not say, mommy, daddy, because it's disturbing them? It's love.
So that would be different from, let's say, you know, if I want to see a, you know, Secretary of Defense, I shouldn't go to Mr. Obama.
You know, that's a whole thing. The analogy, yes. Reality, no. Because Obama doesn't have his door open. But Krishna does. And in Krishna's case, not only is not a disturbance for Krishna, but what he really wants is not just the fulfillment of your desire, but to free you from having such desire. Krishna wants. He wants your love. Not just, you know, I've got all these people knocking at my door saying they want things. He wants to transform the heart of his part and parcel living entity to that position. He wants. It's not disturbing. He wants. It'll free you from disturbance, and that's what Krishna wants. Not you, but your friend, whoever you're talking to. Go ahead.
Is it fair to say that mother of all desires in this sphere of material universe is name, fame, recognition, and controllership?
Well, so those are subtle. It's you know, there's gross ones. The essence is enjoying separately, and there's varieties of that. It's raga and dvesha, that's the essence. Enjoying separately. But there's an obstacle. Someone else is already the separate enjoyer. Oh, envy. Coveting and enviousness. Anything else? Yes.
Ramaji, you mentioned about sustained effort is required.
I mentioned about?
Sustained effort.
Sustained effort.
Is required. And mercy is available.
Yeah.
So my question is, how this is going to Srila Prabhupada's life? Srila Prabhupada, no. It's a lifetime of progression, and the mercy manifested at the age of 70 when everything was, his mission was fulfilled.
Sure. The it's not that mercy didn't happen until he was 70. Being engaged in devotional service, that was the mercy, and he understood that. That was his happiness. That's what sustained him through, you know, adversity. It wasn't that. When he was successful, there was no adversity. So successful, no successful, adversity, no adversity. But, you know, the success in terms of external manifestation, the success was being in his relationship with his spiritual master in Krishna. That was his success. And there was great contentment. At least, he said, at least I know my Guru Maharaj is pleased. I'm making this endeavor. That's my happiness. My Guru Maharaj is pleased. Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.